I'm going to pray this morning because I'm always nervous when I get up here. So let's pray. God, I am so, so grateful for the privilege it is to know you, to make you known, and the privilege it has been for so long for you to forgive me, get me back on my feet, give me second, third, and million chances. And the privilege has been to see so many come to know you as Lord and Savior. God, we pray today that you would help us all to see your call on our lives to be a part of that, wherever and whenever it can happen. In Jesus' name, amen. People have been asking, you know, and excited about what's going on in their student ministry and students coming to know the Lord and excited about that. And I just want to share with you over the next 2 weeks. This week's going to be entitled Advancing the Gospel of Jesus Christ. This week is in and through my life. Next week is in and through my church. So that's kind of where we're going over the next 2 weeks, just to give you a heads up. And a lot of these things, I'm thankful for a ministry like Dare to Share Ministries, which I'm a master trainer for Dare to Share Ministries at this time, for Sun Life Ministries, that I'm a certified trainer for the four chair ministries, and all that's just to say is I believe in what they do, because it's biblical, it's straight out of God's word, and it's getting things done, and we're seeing lives change, and so I'm thankful for those ministries. And so a lot of this I share with you, I want to share with you, comes from some of the things I've learned and been challenged in my life through God's word and through them. So I want to just kind of begin by giving us a challenge here. Sprinkled throughout church history are revolutionary moments in time. And these moments were triggered by transformational, catalytic events and radical obedience of believers that became significant turning points in church history. In 1440, Gutenberg invented the printing press, which led to an explosion of the Bible and a revolution in world missions. We saw the Word of God get to so many areas. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed the 99 Theses to the Wittenberg door, triggering the Protestant movement. And nearly every evangelical church that exists today came from that movement, has its roots based in that movement. In the decade of the 1730s, God raised up people like Whitfield and Wesley and others to trigger the Great Awakening we saw in this country. And my prayer is that God will use these next 2 weeks to trigger a similar moment, a similar movement in our lives. Yes, right here in Katy, Texas. Yes, here at Grace Chapel. And yes, now, because we need it, don't we? There were only 120 people in the upper room in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit set their tongues on fire and unleashed them for the ultimate mission of Jesus Christ. And that was to go into all the world and make disciples of everyone. That's the cause of Christ, the Great Commission. That small group turned the world upside down with the gospel. And we have this morning at least 120 in this room. We have the same Holy Spirit that they had. And through Christ, we can do the same thing that they did. And really, it just comes down to our obedience. If we'll do what we're called to do, we can do the same. And I really believe that, you know. I sit there going, I look at the community of Castle Rock, and it says in the book of Acts the whole region of Asia heard the word of the Lord. They didn't all believe, but they all heard. And that is my greatest desire, that every student in Castle Rock, every person in Castle Rock, get the opportunity to hear, understand, and respond to the Word of God. And I'll guarantee you, Castle Rock is a whole lot smaller than Asia. And it can happen. And my call as us as a church, as us as individuals, is are you in? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to show a short video real quick here first. Then what? You know, as I watch that video, I wonder how many of us are doing that. How many of us are willing to just settle for the status quo and go through all the motions? And then what? Jesus said in John 10, I have come that you might have life and you might have it to the full. What he meant like that was meaningful, purposeful, abundant life. Not a then what, not a just living to go to the next thing, but life that matters, that makes impact, makes influence. And Jesus came for us to have that kind of a life. But it's so easy to get caught up in just all the then what's, right? The measure of a person's life is not in duration, it's in donation. What are you going to be able to look back and say that you gave? Stephen Curtis Chapman put this, there's more to this life than living and dying. Well, today I want God to help us to live that full and purposeful and meaningful and abundant life. And to see that life multiplied through us by living out God's call on every believer, which is found in Matthew 28:18-20. It says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. And so Jesus says, I'm calling you to do this. I got the authority to tell you to do this. I'm calling you to do it. Go and make disciples of all nations. So we know what we're supposed to do. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So he's calling us to live a different life. And surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age. There's our strength and our power. God's not abandoning us on this mission. He's there with us through it. So he's calling us to live a multiplied life. And we're going to look at that word plied, P-L-I-E-D. This is a friend of mine, Jason Lamb, who's now a church planter in Washington in the D.C. area, came up with this acronym, and it's great. And so we're going to walk through that today. And then the upward, inward, outward is really another friend of mine, Derwin Gray. Students will know him as the evangelism linebacker guy. He came up with the upward, inward, outward. And so I kind of mixed them together because that's kind of how it works for me. and so we're going to look at that. So if we're going to see God multiply himself in our community to reach others, we have to begin by looking upward and begin praying. We got to pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. The building was shaken with the power of prayer. And by the way, it was not shaken for deliverance. If you go back a couple of verses, verse 29, you know what it says? Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with greater boldness. They weren't saying, God, get me out of this. I don't like this persecution stuff. They didn't pray like that. They prayed, God, give us more boldness so we can stand and represent you. The believers were shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the city was shaken with the gospel. We've got to learn how to pray. We've got to learn how to pray, not just for requests, but intercessory prayer, where we actually beg God for spiritual things. I remember as a kid, I used to go to the Tractor Supply Company with my dad. Whenever he'd go, I'd be like, ooh, can I go? Because at Tractor Supply Company, while he was shopping and getting what he needed, they had this little toy area. And they had these little John Deere tractors, okay? And they had these, and by the way, you know, I actually still to this day, this is how much John Deere means to me. I have a shirt that says, friends don't let friends drive red tractors. because I'm a John Deere guy, you know? Anyway, but we'd be there, and I would always beg my dad, please, Dad, get me this tractor. Can I have this tractor? Can I have this tractor? Yeah, how many have ever had kids or grandkids who beg like that to you? Okay, if you don't, you're missing out. but you take them places. I used to beg my dad, well, one day I got my tractor. I never did get the baler that shot the foam bales out of it. That was all. That was my next begging. I used to beg for those kind of things. But I used to beg and beg and beg for my dad to get me that. And he was a good father. And he didn't get me everything I wanted, but he gave me things that he knew I liked. And my dad got me that. And that was the greatest, you know, I just sat going, yes. But I begged and I begged and begged. Would we ever beg God? Beg, beg, beg God for our friends who don't know him. That's the kind of praying I'm talking about. Would we ever beg God for those neighbors that don't know Christ, for our family members who don't know Christ, for those at our job who are going, man, Lord, give me an opportunity. Lord, save them. Would we beg God? We got to learn to pray. We got to stop throwing dirt clods at Satan and pull out the bazooka of prayer, right? We got to start learning how to pray and really pray for our friends. We need to look upward to pray, both personally and as a church. You know, if we spend more time on announcements on a Sunday morning than we do praying, something's wrong. We got to pray. And it starts personally. We got to begin begging God. Keep praying for those requests for people that we pray for. But we got to be begging God for those spiritual things as well, right? And so we got to begin praying. We got to look upward. We got to pray. Okay? Then we got to look inward. We got to live. All right? God's call is to be all in. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me." Romans 12, 1. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Are you all in? I always talk to students about when we talk about living, we're talking about being all in. Okay? Jesus was. Certainly Jesus was all in for us, wasn't he? "For even the Son of Man," Mark 10:45, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for us." Luke 22:42, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but what? Yours be done." He was all in for us. And then as he hung on the cross, he says, "It is finished." And he gave up his breath, his last breath. He did that for us. Jesus was all in. Paul was all in as well. Paul in Acts chapter 20 says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I have lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came to the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of the Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Paul had his chance to go. Oops, not going to go then. But this is what he says in the next verse. And this is really what I consider a life verse for me. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." You know, Jesus was in for us. Paul was all in. We see in these verses with Paul, his four characteristics, you see him being humble, holy, hardworking, and heroic. Well, what about you? What about me? Are we all in? You can't straddle the fence with one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. It doesn't work that way. But I tell you, by God's grace, we can reach one hand to God and lend one hand to the people on earth that need it, right? And we can do that. So we have to live. And then we have to inspire. That's the other inward thing, okay? Upward, we're praying. Inward, we're living, we're all in, and we're being inspired. Combined with living is the ability to inspire others to do the same. And you know what? In our student ministry, we do that a number of ways. The first way we talk about is the living examples. You know? We want to be living examples. The second thing we do is we want to move people from good to great. Yeah, human trafficking, social justice, abortion, all these good causes are good causes that we should be helping and be about. But if we stop people from being human trafficked, we would never tell them about Jesus, they still die and go to hell. If we see injustices happening and we change those injustices, that's good, but they still die and go to hell. If we stop people from having abortions, people still die and go to hell. So we have to move from good to great. The gospel is great. You have to give the gospel in all we do. We have to let people know that there's hope for eternity in Jesus, right? We have to let them know that. So that's another way we try to inspire, by helping people to see, yes, let's be a part of those causes. But we call it, how do we gospelize that? How do we gospelize that cause? How do we gospelize whatever we're doing? Third, we use stories. Life has always been about relationships. You know, you guys know, whenever you get with friends that you haven't seen for a while, what do? You talk about old stories. You talk about things that happened and things you used to do together, right? Because life is about relationships and stories. So we use stories and testimonies and experiences. And another way we inspire. And by the way, inspiring is just a way to show worship to God. Another way we inspire is we use illustrations and videos and songs and dramas and stuff like I've been doing this morning to inspire you. Things like this next video. Great story. True story. Of someone who it cost their life to be all in. You know, in America, not so much of the costing of his life is as great of a possibility. It could be. They could be coming, right? But right now, these are great days to live for Jesus. Might cost you, being made fun of. Might cost you people not inviting you to things. But if it's true that the harvest is plentiful, not pitiful, then there are people who are waiting, that God has waiting to hear the good news of Jesus, who want to believe. And man, it's our privilege, our opportunity to tell them. And I don't know if you've ever had a chance to be used of God to lead someone to Him, but it doesn't get any better than that. It's awesome. So we have to be inspired. God is looking for the 10%ers. There's a study that's been done that says if you can find 10% of the people who will be 100% in and sold out to a certain belief system or idea, they will invariably influence the other 90%. It is interesting. I talked about the upper room of 120. You know how many disciples Jesus had? 12. And one of them went bad, but I'm just saying, it doesn't take that many of us. And this thing can be turned. And we can see God do amazing things. Do you believe that? I do. Well, upwardly, prayer, praying to God. Inwardly, being living it out, being all in and inspired. And then outwardly, we look upward and pray. We look inward and say, yes, I'm all in. And now it's time to move outward. And this is lots of times where we fail, because we come and we get information. Information, by the way, without application brings no transformation. Did you get that? If we just hear things and we get more knowledgeable and we don't do anything about them, then it doesn't change anything. And we don't want to do that. So we equip. And one of the ways we work with our students, I use why, what, how, now. Okay? Why is we inspire? What we equip and train? How we practice in a kind of controlled setting? And then we do something. I don't like it where we just teach things and we don't get out and do things. We can talk about what it takes in getting people prepared to share their faith, but if we never just go out and do it, then it doesn't get done. Okay, same thing with serving. If we talk about, we need to help others, but if we don't go out and do it, it doesn't get done. And I am much more of a doer than a thinker, by the way. I tell people all the time, I am far educated beyond my level of obedience. Okay? It's not that I need to know more. I just need to obey more. Right? And so that's our call in our life. It's teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the end of the age. And so we equip. One of the biggest things with the church is we need to equip. Ephesians 4, he gave some as pastors, some as teachers, some as evangelists. You know, we think of evangelists as those people who are for the unbelievers. That's not what the scripture says. Evangelists were for the church, for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. Okay? Evangelists were for the church to help us be equipped to know how to get out and to know how to do all these kind of things. So we equip. And then finally, we deploy. And that's that whole, if we don't get at it, we don't do anything about what we just learned. They say if you don't take what you just learned and do something within 48 hours, it doesn't stick. So guess what you're going to get is you're going to get some life work for the next 48 hours from me. I call it life work because no student ever likes homework. But here's the deal. Life work, if you'll do it, will be great for your life. And so we do that kind of stuff. So here's what your life work is going to be for next week. Okay? On your seat, you should have gotten one of these cards. By the way, this card, by putting into practice what's on this card, I've seen hundreds of people come to know the Lord because of this card. It's got three lines in there for you on the pray, pursue, persuade. We want to pray with passion. We want to pursue with love. We want to persuade with truth. Okay? So we're going to ask God, Lord, give me three people that I can begin praying for daily to come to know you this year. God, in this next 9 months or next 12 months or however you want, I'm going to pray for these people daily. I'm going to pray that you give me opportunity to speak with them. And this is going to take you out of your comfort zone, okay? I don't know whoever made up that zone. It wasn't Jesus, because everything Jesus did made everybody feel awkward. And awkward is?
Awesome.
That's right, okay? Now, there's some awkward that's not awesome, okay? It's just awkward, all right? You know. But awkward can be awesome. Jesus constantly put people in positions where it was awkward. But he knew that they could be awesome. So we're going to ask you for next week. We want you to ask God to give you three names, three people that you can begin praying for every day. Okay? Then on the flip side, I want you to memorize this. This is a tool. Okay? This is not meant to be like, you know, gee, God created us to be with him. Oh, our sins. I mean, that will be awkward and not awesome. Okay? But it's a tool. I don't know if you guys ever remember the first time you ever picked up a hammer. I do. I was on our farm, and I was trying to hit in a nail, and I bent it over a number of times, and I hit the wrong nail, my finger nail. And, I mean, that's what you do when you're first using the tool for the first time. But if you get used to using a tool, it becomes a part of you. You ever see a carpenter? Those guys can take a hammer, and it's two swings, and that big old nail is in. Now they got nail guns, which is awesome. You know, but they do, and it's a tool. And the more you use a tool, the better you get with it and becomes more part of you. So this is a tool. It's not the only tool, but it's a good tool because it tells God's story from beginning to end. God created us to be with him. He wanted this amazing relationship with us, and it was perfect, and it was beautiful, and there was no sin. But pretty soon, Adam and Eve chose to go against God, and our sin now separates us from God. And you know that sin can never be removed by good deeds. You can't go to church enough. You can't give enough money. You can't help old ladies across the street enough. None of that gets you into heaven. None of that makes you right with God. But here's the deal. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. And everyone and anyone who trusts in him alone for what he did for you can have eternal life. And that life doesn't start when you die. That life starts the minute you believe, and it lasts forever. And that's not how it sounded the first time I learned this. But it's easy to share that story with God, of God's story with someone now, because it's something I've done a lot. And it's something that you can do a lot. And it's something that God wants us to do a lot. You guys know, if you find a good deal, you're telling people about it. You know, you're like, the outlets are selling, you know, whatever, you know, hey, you know, at the mall. You're telling people about it. And then you're bragging on the deal you got, right? You know what the best deal in life is? God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin in my place so that I could become the righteousness of God. You don't get a better deal than that. There's no better deal than that. God takes my sin, puts it on Jesus, punishes Jesus, takes his holiness, puts it on me, and says, come on into heaven. What a great deal, right? And so we get a chance to share God's greatest deal ever with people. And you just look for opportunities. Here's the deal. When you start praying for people, then when you see them, you don't just talk about the Broncos and everything else, you know, that you think of talking about. You know, you in your mind, because the Holy Spirit works awesome. The Holy Spirit's going, hey, you're praying for this person. And he reminds you. And you think about spiritual things to bring up. And you think about asking them questions. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. And it's awesome. So, here's your so what. I always want to do two things with our students. Give them something, takeaways. One that's going to drive them deeper in their relationship with the Lord. One that's going to drive them wider into the world. So here's your two takeaways. Number one, deep. Are you all in? Sounded southern, didn't it? Y'all in? Will you be a 10 percenter? I'd love to know this week. Not this morning. I want you to pray about it. But I'd love to hear from you and just say, you know what, I'm in. Because I want to see Grace Chapel reach this community. It's going to take more than our church, but we can start here, right? We can start right here, right now, today. Saying we're going to make what goes on out there our priority. So that those people can have the eternal life that you and I are experiencing because we know Christ, right? Because we don't want to leave any behind. What's the scripture say? Snatch them as if snatching them from the fire so that they don't go to eternal life or eternal punishment, right? So your life work is memorize the gospel, begin praying for three friends. And here's the other life work is ask God for an opportunity to share it. Ask God, God, give me an opportunity to share what I'm memorizing this week. Give me an opportunity. And you can do that. I tell students all the time, pull out your phone, you know, say, okay, here's a question to text your friend. You know, who is Jesus to you? It's just a question, all right? You know, how do you think you get to heaven? There's a question. Asking questions is a great way to open up conversations, right? And then your life work, here's your why. Will you do it? James, the book of James, and I said information without transformation brings no transformation, or information without application brings no transformation. The book of James says it this way. Don't just merely listen to what you heard and deceive yourselves. Do it, right? Okay? Do what it says. And so this is our challenge, myself included. Myself included. God, give me an opportunity in the next 48 hours to share your good news, your story with somebody. It's kind of quiet when we talk about actually living out the gospel. That's okay. Awkward is awesome. So let's pray. God, I hope I've stood up, I've spoke up, and now it's time for me to shut up. And Holy Spirit, this is where we need you most. It's easy to be a believer in this room. It's more difficult when we leave this room and we go out into the world. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be all in. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.